Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and we're in the mid of October. Barb, you got your Bob, not Barb. We don't have a Barb here. We have a Bob. Bob, do you have your rut going, brother?
Welcome to the show. And, you know, I have done a couple scrapes out behind the garage.
Okay.
I had to relieve myself.
I understand. That's about it. Oh, okay, tripod. Yeah, brother. Whatever. Whatever.
No, but, no rubs. No rubs. Okay. But welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It is the Fall Beer Tour show.
Right.
And we're going to be talking with Katie Spade from Siciliano's.
Right.
Starting in the next segment. She's got all sorts of tastings for us.
Yeah, and you're not going to want to miss this because she is the smartest beer person I've ever met. And we can ask her a lot of really cool questions. It's almost impossible to stump her about beer.
Do you realize how many of your other friends you just offended?
No, there isn't one of them because she is in the beer business. She's been with Siciliano's forever, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
but a great place for microbrewed beer. But hey, Bob, our friends at Standard Kitchens have a tired kitchen contest going where you can win $5,000 worth of free cabinetry. You know, if you're tired of your old kitchen, it's outdated, or you just don't like it anymore, here's your chance to make the kitchen of your dreams come true. Enter their Tired Kitchen Contest, where you could win $5,000 of cabinetry for first place or $3,000 for second place. Simple to do. Take a few pictures of your tired kitchen, write a few reasons why you think you should win, and upload it to their website at elevationsbystandard.com/kitchen contest. That's elevationsbystandard.com/kitchen contest. They'll goes through the end of November, and they'll draw on December 6th, man. So too a little too late for your kitchen remodel. We did that one already, but if anybody else is out there, hit the website, show them some pictures. You could be the winner.
Let's see what they won, Johnny.
Right. Yeah, it'll be a new kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a pretty big spend for Standard there. They're hauling out the big guns because you just never know what you'll run into when you start redoing somebody's kitchen. They
right,
can get
yeah.
pretty carried away.
Yeah.
I can tell you that part.
Right.
I am happy to report that Mr. Fongers today, our producer, asked how things were on the home front. And I appreciate that. Brian Fongers produces this every week. He's the wizard of the big board. And he's obviously friends with some of my kids on Facebook and wife or whatever. And saw my son Alex, pictures of him. About a week ago, he ran into a truck on his motorcycle down at Western, went for a ride after going to the gym, didn't have his nice riding clothes on because it was a really hot day. And he went for a little putz just on a country road and was actually, according to him and the police, he was going pretty slow, luckily. But this elderly gentleman backed his pickup truck out in front of him. And he had
driveway.
Nowhere to go but lay it down.
Right.
So he laid it down and then hit the truck and broke 10 ribs. And he ruptured his spleen, damaged a kidney. He was a mess. So thanks to the folks down at Borges Medical Center, they did a great job, took care of him. He's on the mend. He's staying with his older sister, Maggie, and Christian. Because they have a room on the main floor and they have lots of stations on their TV. So he would stay with us if I hadn't killed cable.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to kill cable. I'm going to do all kinds of things.
easy now, brother. Easy. But hey, the good news is he's on the mend. He's going to be as good as new, hopefully. It'll take a while, I'm sure. But, worse things could have happened and they didn't. So he's blessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that hits home, man. That can happen
close.
To anybody. A lot of our listeners are bike riders, and you know what? He wasn't doing anything wrong. I'm sure, you know, as an elderly gentleman that backed out of his driveway, he wasn't doing anything wrong.
87 years old.
Right. He just didn't see him, man.
And he did see him at the last second, and he nailed the gas and tried to get out of the way, God bless him,
okay,
and slammed his brand-new F-150 into a tree trying to get out of Alex's way. But,
right.
You know, just a calamity, and that's why they call them accidents.
Right.
Dude, I'm headed up. This is the beginning of one of my favorite weeks. It's when I head up to see my buddy Dick Guider at the Club 120.
Mm-hmm.
Dick was on the show doing his tenderloin last year,
right.
I think. But anyway, he's up by Tippy Dam. So I love taking one of my trips up north because I get to go all over. I'm going to take a little jog. When I hit Reed City, I'm going to take a little jog east 25 miles and go through Jay's Sporting Goods and pick up a new case for my bow.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking with Matt there at Jay's, and I think he's got the case I need. So I want to get a nice case for my bow. I have a very nice bow and several others, and I just got a crappy case.
Yeah,
and it's looking poor and barely holding the stuff together. But we had one of our adopted kids come in last weekend. Sunday, just popped in. It was that wedding up on Petoskey we were at a couple weeks back, and he brought his new wife, and you know, they're great kids. He's a great big balook. He lives in Shartucky now.
All good guys do, man.
Yeah, he's living in her grandpa's place just on the south end of town.
Okay.
And I guess they're buying it. It's a little ranch, a 70s ranch, real nice, with 10 acres.
Oh.
And I said, are you hunting? And he goes, no. I said, why not? He says, I grew up in the city. I said, but now you live in the country.
Right.
He goes, yeah, I really want a bow hunt. I said, do you? I said, do you have a bow? He says, no. And I went down the basement. I happen to have extra bows.
Right.
Extra camo. Dude, I set him up with a bow, a good case,
yeah.
All the arrows, a trigger, broadheads, target heads, camo, pants, shirts, jackets, hats, everything but boots.
Right.
I said, you got to get your own boots.
Right.
He drove out of there. I mean, plug and play, he's a bow hunter.
Right. That's cool. That's cool. I was with a bunch of guys from Charlotte last weekend. We did a best of because Bob and I were out of town. And I went up to the Eastern UP over by Cedarville. And, you know, I'm the grilling guy. You're a grilling guy. So when you go with a bunch of dudes, they expect you to cook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a calamity up there, and it was one that I didn't see coming. But there was – he had a new little box smoker, you know, on legs, but it was propane. And you put the wood chips over the burner, and then you put the, you know, your food on the racks above it.
Sure, well, sure.
The
probably a Smoky Hollow.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It was something that
there's
somebody
one
brought.
Factory in China makes them all.
Yeah. But anyway, the problem was is the burner must have malfunctioned after we put the food in there, and everything got a greasy, black, oily char. It wasn't even a char because it didn't get that hot. It just it must have been a smoke that was in there, but it was jet black, and it ruined everything that I had in the smoker.
Sounds
so,
like you were missing a part or something.
You know, I don't
like
know
the,
if it didn't breathe well
the
enough.
The grease pan was missing.
No, it was there. It was there because we put a little water in it just to create a little moisture in there too. But and it was right above the burner. But man, something caught on
fire.
Did
you put black water in it?
Right. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to be talking about some black beer, black rice beer. In a minute with Katie from Siciliano's. But bottom line was, is redo. Everybody, hey, we're going to the bar for dinner tonight because all the smoke food that we were going to eat when we – because, you know, you put it in there for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You don't check it. I had a temperature probe on it. We opened it up to look at it, and it was ruined.
Well, they probably had enough smoke anyway.
Right. They could have. You know, it was a fun time. But enough about that. But, it you know, things happen. You got to have a plan B, and it was, the, you know, go to a little bar over by Drummond Island, and everybody was eating, and we all had a good time. But
yeah, it's a beautiful area. You were in Cedar.
Right, yeah, we were in Cedarville.
Yep. Cedarville, yep. There you go.
Big old dolomite plants up
nice.
There. But anyway, coming up next, enough about our weekend, and we're going to be talking with Katie Spade from Siciliano's Market. You're not going to want to miss this because she is in tune with the beer scene and what's cool to drink this time of year, so stick with us. We'll be back.
Football teams are torn this boy apart. Like a neon dream, it just don't know me. The bars and this guitar and long neck eyes.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. You're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And Bob, this is one of my favorite shows of the year because we're going to talk from here forward about a lot of beer. And while you and I get to sample beer every week from our friends at Siciliano, this is a special one because actually Katie Spade from Siciliano's Market, who is their resident beer expert, is joining us for the rest of the show. So with no further ado, Katie, welcome.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me here.
You bet. Well, Bob and I are just going to shut up, and you can take over from here.
Yeah, I can't talk. I'm pouring.
Right, yeah. But but anyway.
Yeah. You know what? I love going in and talking with Katie at the store. And if you've never been to Siciliano's, shame on you. It's time. It's on the west side of Grand Rapids on M45. If you want to see a cool beer store, I see billboards around Michigan that say one cool city or something like that for Grand Rapids. Well, this is one cool beer store.
Right.
And that should be the next billboard going up. Because if you walk in, if you like beer or cigars or hard spirits or any wine,
yeah,
or if you like to brew your own beer, they're probably the biggest brewery supply seller in West Michigan. So you can't help but just wander around and, I mean, you could spend your retirement there,
right?
Your retirement funds,
yeah, right, and your whole retirement.
Yeah, so, we're the grown-up candy store.
Yes, it is. Yeah, cigars, beer, wine, liquor, and beer making, wine
and coffee. So I just like catching up with Katie on. She talks to so many brewers, and I guess I just wanted to know what's going on in the beer scene in Michigan right now, and what should folks be looking for, staying away from? Your opinion.
Well, we're getting into fall, so, you know, people are kind of moving away from those lighter lagers and the really crisp beers and moving towards some of the darker stuff. So, like, the one we're drinking right now, it's kind of a nice fall one. It's the Anderson Valley Black Rice Ale. So it's dark. It's got a little bit of that roasty malt going, some of that darker flavor, but it's not too heavy yet. It's not your full-blown January Michigan, I'm hiding inside for 3 weeks beer, but, you know, pretty delicious. It gets you in that fall mood.
Do you suppose they're brewing it with rice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're with an Asian variety of black rice.
Hmm.
Yep, it's one of the main ingredients in it.
Because I know that, of course, Miller and Budweiser and all those big brewers, that's the bulk of their grain is rice. That's why they can make it so cheap.
Yeah. It has kind of become a four-letter word in the industry. But, you know, when used correctly, when used in conjunction with actual barley and hops and flavor.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, you can make a good beer with it.
What do you think of that, Jop?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. When it said black on there, I was expecting it to be a little heavier than it is. It is an ale, so it's you know, you're not into a porter or anything like that. But, yeah, I'm enjoying it. I mean, you know, just a sip or two here and there, but You know, this brewery's been around, you know, since 1987, so this isn't their first go at it.
Right.
But, Katie, what do you see in the industry? I mean, what are the trends that you're seeing?
You know, things are staying pretty steady at the moment. IPAs, sours are still going to be your big hitters. They're still where the industry is moving. But we had a really great summer for lagers this year. We called it the Pilsner summer at the store. It was great. A lot of variety there. Seeing kind of a return to some of the more traditional styles, where for a while everyone was like, how many ingredients can we throw into a beer?
Right.
It's kind of moving back away from that just a little bit.
Well, those are hard to shop for because, you know, you as an advisor, when you walk into the store, you've got to try to point me in a direction. And when there's so many ingredients in those, it's really difficult to say, well, I like this or I like that. And, you know, that's one of the strengths of Siciliano's is the fact that you can walk in there and you'll get asked four or five questions and you'll get led to a beer that you're probably going to like based on the answers to your questions. And that's unique because you guys understand what you have on your shelf.
Well, you know, we're a bunch of geeks that like to drink beer, so it works out well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. Very cool.
What I guess I like to find out what some of the local brewers have going on in terms of, you know, trends for beers they're going after, maybe who's hitting the ball out of the park, who's merging, like Founders got completely taken over by their Spanish partners.
They did,
stuff like that. You know, that kind, in my opinion, has a pretty big impact on whether or not I want to buy a beer.
Yeah, and there has been some shakeup, like you said, Founders with the Mohana something group. You know, taking majority ownership. That was kind of a surprise, but, you know, most people are actually a little bit more okay with it than even I expected. Back when Goose Island was, you know, the first big brewery to, you know, be acquired, I think it was shock from everyone at that point, where now it's become a bit more of regular practice, and I think people are a little, you know, a little less afraid. As long as your friend is still the guy making the beer in the back of the house, you know, people are a little less
but
freaked
Goose
out
Island
of it.
Changed. Their beer changed
they
as
did.
Soon as Anheuser-Busch took them.
Yep, and so
Leinenkugel changed as soon as Miller took
unfortunately,
them.
Unfortunately, Leinenkugel big time changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be a couple-year process to see what happens there. So far, things are looking good. They haven't really dropped anyone from the brewery side. Pretty much everyone who worked there still works there, which is a really good sign moving forward.
Yeah.
I actually got to talk with the rep about their upcoming release schedule for the next year. I won't give away anything, but I am very excited, actually.
If you just tuned in, this is the Grilling Guys radio program, heard on this station every week. We're joined this week by Katie Spade from Siciliano's Market, and we're just talking about trends for beer in Michigan and around the country, because Siciliano's actually brings in beer from all over the world, not just Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Michigan area, but you've got a lot of national and international brands there.
Definitely. Our Michigan section grows every year, just kind of by nature. I mean, you want to support your neighbors and your friends, but we still really try to focus on beers that are outside of Michigan as well, because there are some breweries making awesome beers that, with the whole, you know, local first movement, kind of got forgotten about for a while. Mm-hmm. So we really try to encourage people to drink beers from not only other parts of this country, but other countries in general. Especially our German selection, we really try to carry as much as we can. The amount of imports that have been coming in are definitely lower. It decreases a little bit every year. Hopefully someday that'll change and we'll start getting more imports back in.
But is there just more more availability of domestic beers and the importers can't compete? Or
yeah.
What do you think it is?
It's a vicious cycle where there's more local beer, so people are drinking less imports. So the distributors are bringing in less imports, so people drink less imports, and just round and round.
I see.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's kind of unfortunate, but you have to, you know, you have to put your money where people are buying it.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't want beers to sit on your shelf for months and months at
right.
a time. I don't understand, and that's, it's a rhetorical question, but I don't understand how you guys do it. Yeah, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of beers you have there that they don't get old. And, I mean, you guys just move this stuff. It's crazy to me, the selection that you have.
It's quite a process. It's quite a challenge keeping on top of everything. Every once in a while, something will slip by us, but With 1,000+ beers, we really do our best.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, Katie, coming up in the next segment, I want to talk about if the person, the average guy that walks into the store, maybe the three or four things that he needs to have an answer to a question. So what are the questions that you're going to ask to try to direct him or her to go to the proper type of beer? Because that's interesting to me, and it really, you know, at $3 a can, I don't want to make too many mistakes, right? But anyway, so you listen to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Down now. So what you want? One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Well, I ain't seen my baby since I don't know when. I've been drinking bourbon, whiskey, scotch and gin.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim since 59. Top of our game, we stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We are live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, and it's all about fall beer today. And we've got an expert in the studio with us, Katie Spade from Siciliano's Market on the west side of Grand Rapids. And if you were just tuning in, you missed the last segment. Katie's just a wealth of knowledge, and we're going to continue down that trail right now. Katie, I wanted to ask you, when you walk into a beer store such as yours, it can be overwhelming.
Oh, definitely.
and you really don't know where to go. And all the pretty cans got the cool decals and mm-hmm. logos and all the other stuff. But when it comes down to it, it's, you know, $2.50 to $4 a can. Depending on what you're buying, and I don't want to make a $15 mistake because I don't know what I'm getting.
And we don't want you to make that mistake either.
Exactly. Yeah. So what are the typical questions that you ask somebody if they're coming in all starry-eyed like I might and go, man, what are you going to ask me so you point me in the right direction?
Yeah. So I'm going to ask what you usually drink.
Okay.
And I don't care if that's Bud Light, PBR, Coors, whatever. Just, you know, let's get the baseline. What is it that you enjoy usually? What have you tried that you've liked that's, you know, been outside of your comfort zone? And then what have you tried that you didn't like?
Okay.
That's a big one.
It's a big one, yeah. The hardest thing is when someone comes in and they say, oh, I like everything.
Yeah.
It's like, nah,
no, you don't.
Nobody likes everything.
Right.
I don't like everything.
You know, and the popular answer to that last question is, well, I don't like that hoppy bitterness,
mm-hmm.
right? And but there's still a lot of beers out there that are hop forward
without being
bitter, right?
Right, yeah. And so there's definitely a lot of different ways we can direct you. If like, yeah, bitterness is definitely one of that big ones. I don't like bitter beers. And, you know, there are other things, pale ales, the New England styles, a lot of other beers we can point you at. But just knowing that you don't want that bitter right up front, you know, that's key. That can ruin your whole beer experience.
Right.
Or, you know, if someone says, I don't like sour beers. Perfect. No problem.
Right.
We'll just, you know, we'll avoid those. We'll find some other things that you like.
On that,
mm-hmm.
my guess is you like sour beers.
Actually, they are not my go-to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And here's why. It was very sexist. But the only people I see that really like sour beers are women. I don't see none of my guy friends go for sours. Do you find that or not?
No, like at least 50% of our customers who buy sour beers are men. And the ones who spend the most money on them are men.
Really?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can see where, like, yeah.
Back then, it's not sexist. You're just lying to the audience.
You were. She's not.
I grew up on American Pale Ales and IPAs, and that's my go-to. That's my, you know, style I prefer. We definitely see a lot of men who like sours. And I think once sours moved away from things like framboise, like the Lindemans, you know, Belgian, fruity,
is framboise sour?
Yes. Especially when traditionally made and not overly sweetened.
Oh.
It's a sour beer. And once there was more availability that didn't look so frou-frou, we have so many.
Well, the foil wrapper kind of adds a foo-foo.
Yeah, that it was a kind of a pink bottle, essentially.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
and I have to tell you, years ago, I was hooked on that stuff.
Yeah.
But I never considered it a sour.
Yeah, it is, though.
Is it?
Yeah, it's just that's
a
very back
sweet
one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right now we're trying something that's called a porter, and it comes from Lansing. What do you know about these guys?
Oh, Lansing Brewing Company. They are in the heart of downtown Lansing.
I've seen it.
Yeah, right across from the ballpark.
Large facility.
Yeah, gorgeous facility.
Is it?
Yeah.
Never been there.
One of my favorite food menus, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, this is going to be sacrilege. I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And they had a whole...
Okay, Bob's a tofu aficionado.
Oh, nice. I love grilled tofu.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I didn't have to search on their menu.
Okay, you're cut off after that one, buddy. Can you have a tofu beer we can give Jop? He's famous for making a tofu comment on this show, and one of your brewer friends slaughtered him forever.
Strike or
that.
Be stricken. That's my strategy right now. Strike or be
the
stricken.
The best defense is a great offense.
Anyways, nice variety on the food menu. Really good variety of beers. This is a year-round from them, Velvet Villain.
That is really good.
It's so smooth.
That's so
hence
nice.
The name. Yeah. This is just a really well-balanced porter. I actually had someone come into the store yesterday and ask, can you find me a porter that doesn't have a lot of adjectives? And I looked at him for a second. I laughed. And I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, doesn't want a vanilla porter, doesn't want a Java porter, doesn't want a caramel, just wants
a
porter.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Which actually for a while, it was really hard to find.
You couldn't find them.
Yeah. And even yesterday, maybe half dozen I could find. You know.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain vanilla porter that seems to have penetrated the market, and it's just okay.
Yep.
It's too sweet.
I agree.
It's not even beer. It's like...
It's dessert in a
you
bottle.
Want dessert.
And that's
okay.
Yeah,
you know? You can have one, you know.
But it also kills your taste buds. When you have something that's sugary, you try to eat or drink anything afterwards, and your taste buds are dulled.
Yeah.
So to have something that's a little bit more balanced, this has got that nice roast character to it.
It's really nice.
Yeah. Nice
that's
head on it.
In my opinion, that's what this tastes like. What I remember porters to be, and I haven't had a true porter in so long. And I think it is. And I didn't notice that trend that everybody went to very heavy on the vanilla.
Oh yeah,
or chocolate.
Yep.
Or coffee. I don't mind a little coffee because porter's supposed to have.
They have that
coffee.
Kind of flavor, anyways.
But the vanilla and the sweet stuff, it's like syrupy.
We're going to see a big downturn in the number of vanilla beers on the market because the availability of vanilla beans has just plummeted. They are not available and they've become excessively expensive. So, actually, for a normal porter drinker, someone who wants just a plain one, it's going to be probably a little bit easier over the next couple of years.
Those come out of South America, don't they?
They do.
What's going on down there?
Rainforest reduction, climate change, all that jazz. Basically, the habitat for the irises that vanilla beans grow on is disappearing. Mm. Yep. And then, unfortunately, there was a local company with a big employee embezzlement situation. Very unfortunate.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. So even our local supplier here in Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jop, I got a couple minutes left here. I want to talk about take a little segue off of beer for those who don't drink beer. And who actually want to talk about grilling, to talk a little bit about something I would just call a Mexican roast. You tasted it this week, and it's really simple. And again, I got to give credit to my oldest daughter, Emily, who taught me how to make a certain marinade for pork. What it got me into doing was using orange juice more in my marinades and in my cooking, So that roast I made for you this week, I was batching it all week. My wife's out of town, so Jop came over. I told him if he'd come over, I'd give him a free meal. I have to pay people to visit me, Katie. Yeah. So
I was only there an hour.
So we were going to grill. We were going to do designer burgers, all this. It was raining like heck, and I thought, man, I've got all these roasts in the freezer from that cow. I'm just going to grab a roast, throw it in the oven, and by the time Jop gets here, we'll have some dinner. So this kind of would defy all things you're taught. I took a frozen roast, put it in my favorite ceramic roaster. I poured about 3 cups of orange juice in the bottom. I put Chef's Blend, Kitchen Magic, or whatever that Michigan-made spice
That's pretty heavily salt, but it's flake salt.
It is. So I poured a bunch of that on it, and then I poured some I put some nice Spanish onions on top, and then I hit it with some grapefruit grapefruit balsamic from Old World and some fresh pepper, and I baked it frozen. I put it in at 2 o'clock. You got there at 6, and 4 hours of roasting.
The flavor. Because I left, and I didn't ask you when I was there, but I left, and I thought to myself, what was that juice mm-hmm. that was on there? Because it wasn't overly sweet, but you now that you say it, you could taste a little bit of the citrus mm-hmm. with it. And we had
it was kind of sweet.
Right, but I brought over a New England IPA,
right,
which ironically went really well with
it. I thought so.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it went really well with it. So coming up next, we're going to keep this conversation going with Katie, and we're going to cover a few more styles of beer, and I think we're going to have one more here to give us a taste, too. So stick with us. We'll be back.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Hey, this is Jop from The Grilling Guys. Build or redecorate with composite decking by TimberTech. Now through July 31st, you can save an extra 5% when you purchase both your composite decking and premium deck railing from Standard Lumber. TimberTech decking starts at $1.75 per lineal foot and is available in many styles and finishes. Visit your local Standard Lumber location for details and enjoy the outdoors on your new redecorated deck. Check them out at standardlumber.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are Better Made.
Welcome back. This is the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. We're talking with Katie Spade from Siciliano's Market. It's all about microbrewed beer, baby. Well, maybe not microbrewed, but maybe not your national brand. That, right?
I would say you were right the first time, and they are all microbrews.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I just don't want to be too redundant, but that Lansing Brewing Company, Katie, that porter,
it's
beautiful.
Fantastic.
What's it called again?
Velvet Villain.
Velvet Villain. There. Yeah. Put that on your list. If you want to buy somebody a really cool, fancy beer, because that's something that a lot of folks are never going to see and know and buy, And even at your store, it's only $1.99 a can.
Yeah.
That's like a killer deal.
You know, we didn't talk about that, but that is, I think, one of the best things that Siciliano's has going is every beer is priced by the can.
What a bunch of work.
Yeah.
you get used to it.
But the beauty of it is you create your own 6, 12, case, whatever. You can mix and match. You don't have to buy it in predetermined quantities. And mm-hmm. when you're doing what we're doing right now and trying 4 or 5 things, it's easy. You get one or maybe two.
And I some of the time when I go in there, I actually do that. Very often I'm so conditioned to buying 4-packs and 6-packs that I leave them that way.
Right.
But sometimes I'll just make up a 6. 2, 2, 2.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is generally how you want to do it.
Yeah. Good math.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Katie, we've touched upon, we bounced around a lot of different beers, but let's talk about briefly about some of the characteristics of each of the various styles. And when we get to is it a stout we've got next? We'll stop and have a little taste of that.
Okay.
But start out on the lighter end of beer for the person that's maybe not too knowledgeable about it, mm-hmm. and all the way to the styles till we get up to that stout.
So your lighter styles are going to be things like lagers, pilsners, cream ales, blonde ales. They're pretty much low on everything. So low malt character, low hop character, pretty much your like standard boat crusher beers, you know.
Okay.
Have them in the summertime, have a bunch. After that, kind of your mid-range, I'd say, would be pales, ambers, brown ales. They're going to have a little bit more malt. And so pales, they're going to lean a little bit more towards the hoppy side, more hop flavor than bitterness, where brown ales and ambers, they're going to be definitely more on the malty side, but still just kind of medium weight, 4%, 5%, 6% alcohol content, nothing crazy. After that, it kind of splits a little bit. So you've got things like IPAs, you're very hoppy, potentially bitter, you know, big old hop forward beers. And then it kind of splits the other way with very, very malty beers. So imperial stouts, old ales, things that are definitely have hop bitterness, but the malts are the features.
Right.
Yep.
And so these New England IPAs, where do they fall?
Oh, man, they're kind of an oddball. So somewhere between pale ale and IPA, I'd say.
Okay.
Because they are just... That was a nice pop. They are not as bitter as a standard IPA is.
Right.
But they have more overall hop flavor than a pale ale.
Yeah, we have a great brewery here in Michigan, Old Nation, that creates one that's called M43, right?
Yep.
A little bit pricey.
It
is. You know, you're pushing $5 a can, but they're 16 ounces. But I've fallen in love with that beer. If you ask me what my favorite beer is, it's in that category right
M43.
There.
M43. So, yeah.
Well, the New England IPAs. We stopped at a local brewery that I live by, and I brought a growler over to Bob's this week.
Gravel Bottom.
Yeah, when he invited me over for dinner, right? I can't come empty-handed. But anyway, so that'd be my sweet spot. Anything north of that or south, a little too light, anything, you know, we're going to try what now, a porter?
Imperial stout.
So I'm going to interrupt you. So just in case you happen to own a Bell and Howell Tack Light, as you just heard, it'll actually open a beer as
right.
well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'd like to go back to the pricing real quick.
Okay.
So you mentioned that the New England style IPAs are kind of pricey, $4 or $5 a can. But
right.
the reason is they have 3 to 4 times as many hops in them.
Oh, okay.
As a standard beer would have.
Oh, yeah.
And they're usually...
They dry hop the heck out of it.
They do. And they're usually either in-demand hops or import hops. So the price on
Pricey
the hops themselves are more expensive as well. So.
And that's a really cool thing that's probably a little too inside baseball for most people, but that is a great point because these brewers all have to buy these supplies. And, oh, gosh, you know, I need some barley. Well, that's easy to get barley. You know, even though there was a shortage five years ago. But then they say, I need hops. Well, gosh, there's hops all over the place. But guess what? We don't want Cascade hops anymore.
Oh, no.
Now that there's 800 acres of Cascade hops
Galaxy.
In Michigan.
Right.
New, we that's right.
And there's still hops that are under, like, copyright. So
there's Citra and Galaxy.
Yeah, there are certain ones that can only be grown by certain, you know, farmers in certain regions of the world. They have, you know, the market on it. So
they're
they get
snobs.
To set the price on it, too.
Right. They're hop snobs.
Well, they weren't just beer drinkers. They're business guys. What
they
do you
are.
Know?
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, before the barley shortage 12 years ago, there was a hop crisis, straight-up crisis, where I think 75% of the global crop got decimated. So it changed the industry dramatically after that. And once the amount of hops rebounded, the price, unfortunately, went way up, too.
And that's when Randy got his name, Hoppy Jockey.
Right, yeah. Another failed business I tried. No, I had nothing to do with that.
So we lost a brewer, too, one of our old sponsors.
Unfortunately, yeah, Arcadia closed their doors a couple weeks ago.
That's sad.
I think they announced on Tuesday that they were closing on Wednesday, and remodels were going to start in the building on Thursday. Like,
yeah, my buddy, an old friend of mine, bought that place.
Yeah, so
I know what's going on there, and it's. I hope he knows what he's got. I don't think he does, but he's got the money, so he owns it now.
Yep.
Anyway, this that we're trying right here is just a really cool black chocolate stout. Russian Imperial Stout. I don't know. I loved Russian history as a kid, and I wonder if those Russians actually ever had anything this good.
I don't know. So this is definitely, an American take on it because it was made in Brooklyn, New York.
Maybe pre-revolution they might have.
Possibly.
But I guarantee you the commies never got their hands on it.
I'm sure nothing this good, yeah. So yeah, this is Brooklyn Brewing Company. This is 10%. And if you drink it with like the smoothness on it, it's got a little heat on the back. It's definitely very rich, but
this is a big brewery actually. I've had other beers from Brooklyn Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
They've
been around for a really long time, and unfortunately, they have struggled in Michigan's market because once again, we're so local first. Yeah,
who doesn't?
Any out-of-state brewery does, but this has not been available in Michigan for 2 years. We are super excited to see it back at the store. Like the whole staff kind of freaked out and bought some the first day.
Nice.
So
well. It's got a wonderful taste. It's not chalky. It's not too thick like some Russian Imperials. And I happen to love Russian Imperials.
Yep.
I've got a friend that's all he drinks.
Whew.
So he can have one beer a night, and that's what he gets. Okay. I think his wife put him on a ration to keep him a real man.
It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man!
I found in a weird place, so it's kind of strange, but it does pose a question that I think is totally legit. Hunting with a friend this fall in a non-disclosed location, dog on point, beeper, his cell phone rings, and he has to take the call. It's Chrysler, and they want to do a survey about his new truck. He takes the survey.
And leaves a dog on point with the beeper going, are you hunting or are you answering your phone?
Can you imagine that?
Dude, there is a time to relax and check the phone off. I did that this last weekend when I was in the Eastern UP. I got over the bridge. I lost phone signal. I was elated.
Okay,
right?
I read this wrong. NLP means Northern Lower Peninsula.
That's right. Yeah, that's a Michigan place, man. And but does he lose his man card? Hell yes. Yeah, it's gone because you don't
and
put your dog
through that. And maybe he gets slapped in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And no Russian Imperial Stout. Katie, cut him off.
Right. But anyway, I have dogs, right? And I'm a bird hunting guy. You don't do that to your dog. That's why he's there.
Well,
you're in the moment that you're there for a reason.
How stupid is the guy? You should take his gun away first.
Right.
Forget the man card. Take his gun away because the guy's going to trip and swallow the barrel on the way back
phone
to the
call
truck.
While you're hunting. Leave your
Why is your
truck.
Phone in your pocket?
Right. I could see maybe we're using the GPS, but not taking calls.
Yeah,
no,
whatever.
I'm sorry. That lit a fire under me. That ain't right.
Okay. I don't think we have any time for St. Louis ribs, so
we'll cover
in the next
segment.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about some St. Louis ribs.
All right.
Stick with us.
We'll be back.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We are live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. Barbecue Bob, we got running our mouth with Katie about a little bit of beer, like we've been doing the whole show. It's time for some St. Louis ribs, man, because we're going to cover those in the last segment.
Katie, is there any beer in St. Louis?
I'm sure there is. We just don't have it here.
They have right. They have horses.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about St. Louis ribs only because I got stuck making them last week. We had a joint or multi-child birthday party at our house Sunday. Olivia's, Jordan, and Alex all are real close to each other. And being that they're all older and living away now, it's kind of harder to get them all in at once. So my wife saw some ribs on sale, and she brought them home. God bless her. And I went to pull them out of the basement refrigerator, and I looked at them, and they're all spare ribs.
Right.
And she's used to baby backs. She didn't know what she bought, but they were $1.49 a pound, right?
About what they're worth.
So, you know what? So I had to trim them up. So if you ever have to trim up some spare ribs versus baby backs, it's really not that hard if you – if you look
further down the hog, a little bit closer to the belly, right?
Yeah. If
right?
if you look at that big piece on your cutting board, it almost looks like a fillet from a salmon. You know, it's got this big front end, and then it tapers down to one end. But if you'll notice, you'll see the ribs, the bottom of the ribs that go into the belly part of the salmon, the bottom of the ribs are all kind of in a straight row.
Mm-hmm.
And that bottom flap is actually kind of brisket meat. And riblets.
Yeah, a little cartilage
so,
in there. Right.
So if you cut that thing off and square it off, you end up with St. Louis ribs. And then you take that flat part that you're cutting off, the brisket, I'll call it, and you cut that into small sections and rub it individually. And then you take your St. Louis portion, you get a butter knife under the back end of that thing, and you pop that membrane off it like you would with any ribs. I actually made a rub, and it was really simple. It was paprika, brown sugar, garlic salt, and I think just
pepper.
Just black pepper.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, less is more.
Right.
That was so simple. It was not a complex rub. But they turned out wonderful.
So how'd you cook them?
So I smoked them for 3.5 hours. When I got
wrapped or unwrapped?
Unwrapped. And then I put some butter and honey on them at the very end. And a little brown sugar, and I covered them up, put them back in the smoker.
With what?
I put them on a cookie sheet.
Oh, and then covered them up with foil?
No, I didn't use plastic.
Okay. Just checking. I know you're fond of foil.
Well, they were good. So, good. Katie Spade, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And it is Siciliano's Market, the Fall Beer Tour.
Where's Siciliano's located?
2840 Lake Michigan Drive Northwest. So right on the west side of town on your way to Grand Valley.
Right. So it's a Grand Rapids tradition, a big boy store where you've got cigars, liquor, beer and wine making. Oh, it's wonderful.
Cool.
Take some time to go there. You aren't going to walk in and walk out.
Cool little backstory. When Maureen and I first moved to Grand Rapids, our house was the second house north on Carpenter. And it's a big old brick stucco Tudor, beautiful house. I could see your store from my bedroom upstairs. But that Lake Michigan traffic, Lake Michigan Drive traffic was too much for me.
I don't blame you.
I had to move out in the country.
Yep.
Well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, if you got time, get out in the tree, but be safe. Strap yourself in. Wait for the big buck. Don't take the first one that comes under the tree. And if you are drinking microbrews, do it after the hunt. We appreciate you tuning in, and we'll talk with you next week. Bye.